WMFO in Medford, Sky Bar here, filling in for Joyce. Unfortunately, she could not make the show. Our condolences go out to her. 3 o'clock, WMFO in Medford. I'm going to play a few songs, but then we're going to be back with Aaron Larger Kaplan and Lakonji. I think that's right. They'll fix it if it isn't. But I'm going to play a couple tunes, like I said, and we'll be back in about 10 minutes. And interview, live music, it'll be good. This is Gary Clark Jr.
Thank you. If I could, I'd give you the world. You made something from nothing. I thank God for such a beautiful girl. He put an this world, yeah.
All right, that was Gary Clark Jr., song called Pearl Cadillac. I'm here right now with, as I said earlier, Aaron and Laconja. And full disclosure, I'm not a... I don't know a ton about classical music, but I'm open to all music. And I hate people that get on certain genres. And I don't think there's such a thing as a bad music. It's just individual taste. And so you're a classical guy, right?
I am. And don't worry, it won't hurt. I'll walk you through this. Yeah, I actually started playing guitar when I was a kid, and I played electric guitar. And so I was very much into Hendrix, Zeppelin, Motley Crue, The Doors, and I think it was Def Leppard and others like that. Yep. And kind of the glam rock, a bit of that, and very much influenced me. I loved it. It was great
fun. And this
fun.
Was when you were just a youngster.
This was probably up till I was about 16.
Uh-huh.
And then... you know, I realized I wasn't writing songs, and I was playing other people's music, and my stepbrother had played drums, and so we did a little bit together. But you have to play with others all the time, and I just wanted to play all the time.
Yeah.
And so I was in my Spanish class, my high school Spanish class in Denver, Colorado, and the teacher put on some video about Spain and, you know, culture, Spanish culture. And they had a singer, Victoria de los Angeles, who sang some Spanish songs, which I was like, oh, that's cool. And then this guy gets up, this old Spanish white guy. It's black and white. This is probably filmed in the late 60s, early 70s. And he starts going. And I was like, wait, I know that. And turned out that Robbie Krieger of The Doors had played some flamenco, and he used that theme in his song Spanish Caravan. And so here I am, and I'm looking, going, what is going on? Because it's a little dressed up.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's the real thing. I want to learn that. And it's a piece by Yitzhak Albeniz that I'll play maybe a little bit later on the hour. And it's originally, you know, this great Spanish piece, and it's played on the guitar all the time. And I went home, I stuck my pick between my fingers, and I tried to figure it out, and I did okay. And I said, I want to learn more. And it took me a few months to realize that that piece was originally for piano, and has been transcribed for guitar. But
do you do the transcribing?
Yeah. At the time when I was 16, right, no. Not them, but yeah. I went and grabbed it turned out this old guy on the television was Andres Segovia, and, you know, this giant of the guitar. And so I just started studying. I looked for a teacher. I bought a cheap classical guitar, and that was it. I was down the rabbit hole, and ever since, it's been just digging deeper and looking at the original piano pieces and putting them on guitar, going to Bach and doing the same stuff, because he didn't write for guitar. I have projects of getting composers who are alive now to write for the guitar, a project of lullabies from all around the world. Really crazy, like this is stuff you wouldn't expect, stuff you shouldn't hear the end of because you should be asleep, or inspired by a leaky roof, but in these weird kind of Western classical languages. Some of them are quite twisted. And then I also do stuff of John Cage on the guitar. So in March, I'm premiering a piece for electronics and guitar. So there's a lot. You know, when we say classical music, I like to tell a brief story about my stepbrother, we were in the car and I could drive, so I had control of the radio. And I was like, I want to listen to this. And I put it on and he's like, yeah, just one piece. And I said, okay, no problem. And it was a movement of Beethoven, a symphony. And I played it and, you know, it went on for like 9 minutes.
Right.
So I was like, score. And he was like, meh. And at the end of it, I said, so what'd you think of that? He goes, oh, that was pretty good. I said, oh, it's classical music. He goes, no, that's not classical music. I'm like, yes, literally that's classical music. And he goes, no, classical music is boring.
Yeah, and no, I think, yeah, music,
that's it.
The genres blur.
Yeah, and people, and also what we hear, nothing against the radio, but what we hear is like the top 20, just kind of like classic rock, you know?
Yeah,
I'm with you there. 10 or 20 pieces.
I rail against real radio on a constant basis, because again, like you can pick any artist and you hear the same 10, 15 songs for the past like 30 years.
Yeah. And they're great songs. They're
right.
Not that great.
But they have others in the catalog.
Right.
I'm
exactly.
Like, there's other picking artists. Like, I'm a huge Springsteen guy. And again, if you listened, you'd hear the same 10 songs. And I'm like, he's got a vast catalog, you know.
Right. So I try and do, especially with Con Fuego, which is why I'm here with La Conja, I try and take very, very much standard classical pieces and we add elements of flamenco to it. So she being a dancer, a singer, and this like rhythmic warhorse, we can take classical pieces that might have a bit more of a French influence or romantic elements, and we go, we're going to add these folk elements. We're going to push it more towards that, which is very possible and it's very exciting. So with that and the cellist Stephen Morado, it's really a fun program. So we're looking forward to it all this.
All right. Why don't you play one? We'll obviously talk a bit. You're going to be here a while, so.
Yeah, we have a while. So we'll start easy. This is a serenade. For those of you who enjoy movies, I think it was Woody Allen used this in Vicky Cristina Barcelona. And it's a serenade by Yitzhak Albeniz called Granada.
Very nice.
Thank you.
So when did you guys meet?
Should I do some talking? Yeah.
La Conja, why don't you
jump right in?
Tell a story.
Yes, I guess maybe like some 10 years ago at least. I live in New York City, and I was working with another flamenco guitarist that used to live here in Boston, Juanito Pascual. And I believe Aaron was doing some studying with him in flamenco. Yeah. And so he came to one of our concerts, and I met Aaron. And he said, you know, I play classical, and I was looking for someone that could maybe play some castanets. And I said, well, I could do more than that. You know, I could play castanets, I could dance. So he got a couple of, you know, jobs here in Boston, and I came up, and we started putting things together. And of course, you know, when you're playing for a dancer, it's a whole other dynamic. So it's not like just playing the piece, reading it off the sheet music. So I would choreograph it, I would slow down parts, make other parts speed up, and kind of give it different levels and dynamics. So what I'm doing is, first of all, I love classical music. I mean, my radio is always on the classical station. And so aside from flamenco, and I love a lot of different types of music. So, and I know these pieces, I used to dance with piano. Some of these pieces, which were, like he said, were written for piano.
Not as good as on guitar, by the way. But just, I'm going to interrupt.
Beautiful. So what I'm doing is, because we have flamenco, Spain has many different regional dances. So you have flamenco from the southern part of Spain, Andalusia. And this is where you get this multicultural of the Jewish and the Arab and the Christians that live there. And from India, gypsies that came from India. So it's very, you know, a mixture. But in northern Spain, they have totally different, you know, dances, folkloric dances.
That's
in the classical Spanish, they use the castanets. We also use them in flamenco. More hands, but they still use castanets a lot, and in some of the folkloric dances. And then we have the classical Spanish dance and Escuela Bolero, which is done with like ballet slippers. So it's like ballet, but they're doing castanets.
Mm-hmm.
So think of like a ballet dancer and then add castanets. It's very difficult. And of course, I specialize in flamenco, although I had studied some classical Spanish. But what I like to do is he's playing it in the classical style and I'm interpreting in the flamenco style. So I'm using castanets, I'm using footwork, I'm using palmas, different rhythms, and I also sing flamenco. So I'm doing a piece with the cello. It's just with the cello and the voice, and it's a very flamenco, like kind of hondo style, the deep style. And the cello resonates so beautiful with the voice. So it's really, I think we have a really complete program. There's a lot of variety, you know.
And that was really the point of Con Fuego, was when I saw the two elements, I was taking flamenco lessons, but I didn't want to go become a flamenco guitarist.
Yeah,
I love classical music, but I wanted to get the elements of flamenco that I really love, and that could be some of the textures, the type of strumming, the idea of the rhythmic pulse and how it works, but I love the music of classical music. So the other elements of flamenco that I love is the dance. I mean, as much fun as it is to have people stare at me while I play guitar, which is great anytime, it's even more fun to play and know that, you know, I have someone like La Conja who's just captivating on stage. And in essence, the two of us come together to create something even bigger than what we both have. And I think that's the whole point of a group.
And this will be on display at the Regent?
Yeah, the Regent Theater this Friday at 8 p.m. We'll repeat the show in Northampton on Saturday evening, and then at Providence College on Sunday afternoon. But the Regent show will be really special. It's our first show in that theater, and it should be quite exciting.
Yeah, I've been there many times. It's a nice place, the Regent. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know, I think we're doing it a little later on, a little ticket giveaway.
Yeah, so, yeah, towards the tail end of the hour,
We'll explain that later.
Yeah. And is it going to be a third human at the show?
Yes. Stephen Morato is a cellist based in Cambridge. A wonderful cellist, plays with various groups around Boston and Cambridge. And we just got out of rehearsal, and he couldn't join us right now. But we're very excited. It's going to be really cool. So we'll be doing music of Yitzhak Albeniz, who I just played, Joaquin Rodrigo, who many of you might know, Sketches of Spain, of Miles Davis. Thank you. Ah. That was embarrassing. And Miles Davis used this theme of Joaquin Rodrigo's for Sketches of Spain. And so we have an arrangement that I did of that. We have the song that La Conja was talking about is poetry by Federico García Lorca. We have Enrique Granados, and of course songs by Manuel de Falla. So if you love Spanish music, there's really no place else you can go and hear this, because we are a unique duo.
I think so.
Yeah.
Trio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't forget the third guy.
Yeah. Should we do something?
Yeah.
What would you like to do? Do you want to do Sevilla?
Yes.
You can do it with, how about Palmas instead? I don't know how, we could see how, do you want to demonstrate?
Yes.
Okay. She's going to talk and demonstrate while I tune.
So I brought the castanets, which are castanuelas, or in Sevilla they call them palillos, which means sticks of wood. And they are four pieces of carved wood, and there's two different sounds. There's a high-pitched sound. I recorded castanets for the Charlie Mingus band on the Isabel Table dance. And it was very funny because we were in this really big, one of those big studios, mm-hmm. like where they do movie recordings. And Sue Mingus, you know, because Charlie Mingus has passed. But anyway, she like still keeps the band going. And so I guess there was another guy that used to play the castanets with the stick, mm-hmm. on a stick. So he's like, we have La Conja now, so you don't have to play the castanets on the stick. That was so funny.
Hot dogs on a stick, castanets on a stick, and
so the right hand is the higher pitch one, and the left hand keeps the bass. Mm-hmm. So on the right hand, you develop the technique by starting with the little finger and moving up, like little finger, ring finger, middle, index, and then two fingers on the left, and you have to practice this, striking it many hours until you get this.
Nice.
Ole, ole.
Right?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Good stuff.
It's a lot of fun. And when we do concerts, I know as soon as she comes out with the castanets and she strikes it once, people just perk up.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. So, Mantilla or Sevilla? What would you like?
Well, Mantilla, I don't usually do the castanets. But.
No, but you just took them off, I suppose. I'm sure. You want to do Sevilla?
Sure.
Okay. So this is a piece also by Yitzhak Albeniz, like the last one. It was also written for piano. Albeniz was very interesting because he was a virtuoso pianist, traveled all over Europe and all over the world. And he was inspired by the sounds of Spain. He was kind of a nationalist, I guess you'd say. And he looked towards the folk music. Good nationalist, by the way. You know, not like what we talk about on the radio today.
Uh-huh.
He was inspired by folk music. And so he made these melodies that are his, but they are so gentle and wonderful that people think that they're folk music. But these are actually written out. So this is a piece called Sevilla. And yeah, so we'll...
Going to happen here at MFO. Very nice.
Thank you.
That so
Sevilla.
You've obviously been to Spain quite a bit, no?
Yeah. I went to Spain for the first time during a summer in college, and I went and studied in Cordoba, did a couple of music festivals there and loved it. I mean, just blew my mind, and I thought I'd be back, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And I ended up meeting my wife, and we got married and stayed out here. And then I was in Granada for the first time a couple years ago, performing with a cellist, Kathleen Balf, from the Orchestra de Granada. Wonderful cellist. And it blew my mind.
Yeah.
To go to the Alhambra, to explore the streets, the food. Food is unbelievable. The hot chocolate was marvelous.
Yeah, we were talking off air about music in Spain is just bigger than here as far as fandom, in a sense, isn't it? Or
I think it's just a different part.
Different vibe?
A different value in its culture. Here, especially, I didn't realize it was in Boston. I grew up in Colorado, where sports, you know, that were like center of everything.
Yeah.
And I kind of get it because you could ski and hike and do all that all the time. But when I moved to Boston, I was shocked to see the fandom in regards to like the Red Sox and Celtics.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that blew my mind. I just didn't think of it as that. I was like, Boston is this cultural hub. It won't just be about sports. And not that sports aren't center of the world in Spain.
No, I hear
too,
you. It should be more football. People should be more into
right,
the arts
football,
and
yeah. But in Spain,
getting out the, seeing music,
yeah,
all forms.
Well, and in Spain, there's it's part of the culture. I mean, just you know, I remember a friend of mine. I was playing in Germany in October, and we were talking about how he grew up listening to Schubert because it was like folk music for him, and. Not that everyone in Spain listens to flamenco or even likes it, but there is an element that this is our tradition, this is our culture, and at least that was my experience. Did you find that in Spain, that music had a different kind of priority in its culture?
Well, the time that I went to Spain, I lived there for almost 10 years and mm-hmm. performed there. I was very lucky to have gotten right in with some of the really heavyweight people in flamenco, and you know, my teachers were amazing maestros. So I pretty much went over there just focused on flamenco music. And
you didn't watch football?
No. And also, and even as a kid growing up, I knew about rock music, but I wasn't really into it that mm-hmm, much. Yeah. And so my main focus was flamenco. But yes, rock music and flamenco now, they are doing thing with rock, with jazz, they're mm-hmm. you know, doing all kinds of fusion, which I like that a lot. I like to do a lot of fusion work with different artists,
yeah,
you know, musicians, yeah, and actors, and you know, anything like that. So, but yeah, they love you know, American music and music
right,
from all over. They're very interested in learning, you know, about different types of music,
yeah,
and dance. A lot of Spaniards come here to study, you know, like contemporary dance.
Mm-hmm.
In New York City. So, yeah, they're very interested and have a very open mind about music.
And also, culturally, I mean, I fly a lot, And I can say one of the best airlines to fly with a guitar is Iberia Airlines. That is Iberia. I'm happy to endorse you if you need to. But I come on with a guitar and they treat it like it's a child. They're like, oh, you have a guitar. Come sit up here at the front and here we'll put the guitar and we'll treat it very well. And it really is part of the culture. And not that everyone plays it, but it is...
appreciated is maybe a better word, more over there.
I think so. I mean, I guess it's kind of like I remember walking around Harvard Square, you know, along when I moved here and before it was, you know, all the same stores.
Yeah.
But you could walk around and you have an instrument and people would be like, hey, and they'd start talking to you about your instrument. That doesn't happen as much anymore. I think a lot of people, it's starting to change with some of the younger generation. I teach at UMass Boston and, you know, I get students every semester who've never seen live music. They go to clubs, but they see DJs, they see people with their computers, which is a type of instrument, but they've never seen acoustic instruments for sure.
Yeah.
And so,
That's really a shame. Well,
we make them go to concerts and it's actually really life changing for many of them. They're like, I had no idea that you could make music this way. I remember I was at Salem State about a year and a half ago and a young student came up and he's like, you know, I've only made music on my computer using like GarageBand and all this. And he's like, it's really cool, but to watch you make music, to watch you create the sound is a very different experience. And we had a wonderful conversation and, you know, it's not part of our education system. It's not part of our daily life. It's not on television. And, you know, that's on us.
Yeah.
So I know La Conja and I, when we first met, we did a ton of like enrichment programs in schools. And I've just, since I was a kid, I always felt it was really important because I remember becoming interested in music when the local, at the time it was the Denver Symphony, you know, a couple members came and played for my elementary school. And I was, wow, it was so moving for me. And so it's a big part of my season is going in and doing these kind of community concerts saying, look, here's this amazing piece of art. I want to share it with you. And it doesn't have to be complex. There's many different ways of listening. You don't have to go study in Spain to appreciate flamenco. But if you listen, you will have an experience. And what I try and do with Confuego is you can listen with your eyes closed or open, and you will get this visual. And I think we really grab all of the elements of the visual and the oral to create a really stunning experience. That's our goal. I think that's a good goal.
I just think it's great to get kids out to see live music. I don't care what form it is, what genre it is. When I was a kid, 18, that's what I did. I went to see... And then that morphed into, like you said, clubs where music's piped in or discos. And not to knock the whole genre of disco, but it was never my thing. I wanted to go see guys with guitars and drums and pianos and whatever else they might be playing. And I think that's what kids should be doing.
Yeah, well...
It's
we'll
a
have
cool
to,
thing.
And they can do it this weekend.
Yeah, and you guys are pushing, and that's great. I think that's great that you do that.
Yeah, so we work and we continue to do our stuff. I know La Conja teaches in New York and has a vibrant studio and works all over the world. And I try and do various types of styles, and we put our music together. So, yeah, it's a fun time.
All right, have at it.
So another one. Recuerdos? I mean, you don't do anything in Recuerdos. What would you like to do?
I do hands, but they won't see me. Unless they come to the concert.
So we're adjusting our program because
so much
of what we do is visual.
Right.
And so I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to play a piece. It's called Recuerdos de la Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega. And it's memories of the Alhambra, which was the last Moorish stronghold in Spain, in Granada, Spain. So we'll stick around Granada. And in this piece, La Conja does all of this type of dance, but since the magic of radio just doesn't allow it, and we're not going to live stream it. So if you want to see what she does, you have to come to
a
concert. That's it. Come and see it, because it's not on DVD and it's not on YouTube. It's just, this is it. So this is called Recuerdos de la Alhambra by Francisco Tárrega.
Very nice. Forgive me if I asked this earlier, but did you have training for, did you go to school for music? Or?
No. Yes, I did. You did not ask that earlier.
See, I forget, yeah. But I had it.
Right. I went to the New England Conservatory, and so I started playing classical around 16 years old, and had to learn to read music, and I went to BU for 1 year. And then transferred to New England Conservatory, where I studied with David Leisner and a little bit with Elliot Fisk. And then after conservatory, I met a teacher by the name of Dmitry Goryachev, who currently lives in Newton. But at the time, he was in a triple decker, top floor of a triple decker in Dorchester. Mm-hmm. And I knew his son, Grisha, who was an outstanding flamenco player. And I said, who taught you how to play? And he said, my father. And so I went to Dima and I started working with him and basically lived at his house for 7 years, 3 to 6 hours a week, every week, no Christmas, no vacation. They celebrate Christmas differently in Russia anyway.
So that's some dedication right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Well, and I got a job, a couple teaching jobs right away, kind of after I graduated. And so I had a little bit of income. But I knew I needed to get better in my playing. I'd only been playing for a few years. And Dima was just is a fantastic pedagogue. Probably the most gentle and insightful teacher and patient. My God. I mean, I'm a pretty stubborn and dense guy. So he was very patient with me and held my hands, sometimes literally. And then he said, okay, go, you're done. And I've been working on my own since. I do work occasionally with different pianists, wonderful pianist in New York, Seymour Bernstein. He had a movie about him that came out a few years ago, a Seymour documentary. Wonderful. It's a beautiful movie about music and just why we create and the joy and the turmoils that we go through. I teach, like I mentioned, at UMass. Yeah. I taught at Boston Conservatory for a time and privately, and continue my studies, though. I mean, every day is, in essence, whenever I think, oh, I don't need to practice, that's when I know I need to practice. And so it's a daily thing. My nails grow every day, so I have to adjust them, and my strings need to be tuned. And it's a joy. It's not a have to.
Right.
I get to practice. It's when
yeah.
I don't practice that you don't want to be around me.
Some musicians hate practice, but you're okay with it.
I probably like it too much. But I have a lot of different projects going on, so I don't like, I guess I'm kind of like ADD music wise. If I just played Spanish music, I would last about a week. I get so bored. I'm like, give me something else. And if I just played Bach, it's the same thing. I need to intermix, and I have contemporary music. So I kind of have this cycle of contemporary music, Bach, and Spanish music. I just recorded and performed at Berkeley a new work for flute and guitar. That was on Sunday and Monday. And now to be able to play Spanish music with La Conja and Steve.
Bored.
No, it's less than
not
a week.
Yet.
Ask me at the end of the week.
Give him time.
Yeah. You know, a story that when I first started working with La Conja, I was very green. I was young. I had big eyes and ideas. And I was reading the music. And maybe you don't remember this, but and she started cursing at me in Spanish. Oh, you were totally who you were. And
you went off.
Yeah, she's like, stop reading the music. The rhythm is not there. And she hits me on the chest. It's there. It's there. It's in your chest. You got to feel this. And
you're being dramatic.
a couple words, but I play music. That's, and but she's 100% right. And
right.
I think as a classical musician, we get so obsessed with reading what's in front of us as opposed to feeling and letting the notes really live inside of us.
Yeah.
That it's very exciting to be able to have her kind of guide me through that.
Well, the same thing goes with the dance. In flamenco, you have to be a good musician to be a good dancer. So when I train dancers, especially, I don't mind taking people from the beginning because then they have no bad habits. And then the most important thing is to drill them on what we call the compás, the rhythm, because that has to be inside you.
Right.
So whether you're playing an instrument, because this is an instrument, we're doing footwork, the percussion with the castanets, the arm is, and the upper body is like the melody line. So in order to be, a great dancer, you have to be a good musician. And most of the students that I've had that have had any kind of musical training, they're always much easier to teach because they have an ear, and they pick things up faster than people that have had, say like no training whatsoever or discipline,
It's the discipline. that
well,
is so
in
important.
Anything, if you want to do something, you know, you have to put the time in. And
yeah, at a high level, it's really easy to do a lot of things badly. And people ask me, oh my God, how many types of guitar do you play? And I'm like, one. You know, I play a classical guitar.
Right.
I can play different styles to a certain extent, but there's better jazz players than me. I have no problem with that. I can play a bit of jazz, but it's not something I brag about in any
yeah.
way. And I think that goes for many people who are on that road. You know, there's a point where we become very specialized. And I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, to be really good at something, you have to focus. And,
right.
You know, I think in the best metaphor is sports. You know, we accept that. You know, okay, this kid wants to be, you know, the best in the world. Well, they better put in those hours. Well, in the music world, or the dance world, it's very similar. It's
yeah.
just we don't see it on the front page of
right.
newspapers, but it is all around us. And the people who are out in front have spent the time. And if they haven't, they don't last very long.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, and that's, I think, what's so wonderful about it is we really are our own teachers and motivators, and it can be difficult, but man, I could spend 60 hours being a lawyer. That sounds horrible to me. Like, who would want to do that?
That's not going to stimulate anybody.
No.
You're playing music, people are going to see it. Music stimulates people.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, we need lawyers, I imagine, right? But it's, you know, no one's fired up to go see their lawyer. No one's going to pay to see their lawyer perform.
I mean, they're important and all, but...
Yeah, but they're not exciting. No, nothing that gets me going, as opposed to music.
Yeah.
I think the main thing in life is you have to have a passion for whatever it
yeah.
is. You know, when you are passionate about something, like you said, you don't have to be forced to practice because you're going to want to do it, because... If you're
yeah.
forced to do something, it's never going to happen. It has to be something that you really love and you really enjoy doing, and the time just goes because you just kind of go to another world
mm.
when you're doing it. And it's a lot of hard work, but in the end, I think it's very gratifying.
Yeah, and even for those of you who have little kids and your kids don't want to practice, that doesn't mean they shouldn't practice. It's, you know, okay, let's do 10 minutes. How do we make this interesting? One way is to go to concerts and take your kids.
Yep.
You know, teach them how to listen. Teach them what the experience is. You know, if you've only eaten McDonald's your whole life, you're not going to appreciate a fine Indian or French or Mexican cuisine. You know, it's just, it takes training and it takes introductions and experience. I remember the concerts. Exposure is
yeah.
a good word. I remember concerts going to a kid. You know, I saw tons of folk musicians at the local places, and I got to go see a couple of the big groups and was totally inspired by it. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, it's great. Yeah.
I mean, if you don't want your kid to be a musician, that's different.
Right.
Because you might inspire them to go down this
yeah.
road.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, should we play? How about
yeah.
Studios? Or what do you think? Should I do Panaderos? Or
whatever you like.
Whatever I want. Okay.
Your choice.
Oh, man. Okay. This is the first piece that I heard played on the guitar. Thank you.
nice.
Thank you.
So, we're going to wrapping this up soon. But once again, want to plug that show one more time?
Yes. Yes, the Con Fuego at the Regent Theater this Friday, February 7th at 8 p.m. Doors open at 7:30. I know they offer some drinks and libations inside, and they have some like dinner things with local restaurants. So check that out if you're interested in eating